Well, from Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crazy Bone comes in here and mixes it up. We have a good time with him. Also, there's the news. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. I just took out 5 extra long zip ties. I solved 2 problems around the house. I want to call you and get your feedback. Anything, any thoughts on the zip tie? How do you feel about the zip tie? Thank you.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Crazy Bone is here from Bone Thugs and Harmony, and I like the zip tie. I don't like when people remove the zip tie because there's certain things people never pick up, and that's when they clip the zip and it falls on the ground. Like they have a bunch of wires and the electrician comes by, they clip. They will never. They're like cigarette butts.
Yeah.
They don't think it's litter. They'll just fucking throw it anywhere. So I see cut zip ties all over the place all the time, even in my dreams. You share my disdain for the cut zip tie, Crazy
you.
Bone?
I hear you, man. I hear you.
You feel my zip tie pain?
I feel your pain.
I know it affects the community.
Yeah.
I heard Michelle Obama talking about it the other day, so I'm down. One of the best... I don't know, bands, rappers, singers. I was actually listening. Do you guys remember being on Loveline, the radio show, like 20-something years ago when I was hosting?
Man, I'm not sure if I do. I honestly don't remember.
A lifetime ago.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I don't make an impression on that. I get it. Yeah. I mean, if it was Howard Stern, you probably remember, but
yeah, no.
No, to be fair, I was just listening to Gio, who sent me a bunch of stuff, and everyone was like, "These guys rapped, but they sung, they harmonized,
yes.
And that was different than kind of what you're seeing today." I guess,
oh yeah, definitely. Wait, it was even different for when we, you know, for the time we came out, because nobody else was doing it. So it was very different. I think that's why a lot of people took to us like they did, because it was something fresh and it was like a breath of fresh air or something different.
How did the band form?
Well, 3 other members are related. 2 brothers, there's 2 brothers and a cousin. And I met the guys in 7th grade. So we actually been together since junior high school.
Oh, damn.
Ever do Soul Train?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so Don Cornelius could ask the brothers if
questions?
They were brothers.
Yeah, that's right.
What now?
Apparently, we watched some clips. Don Cornelius liked to ask bands if they were related, and often the answer was no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We was on it, and he asked, too.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Very consistent.
Yes, indeed. He asked us. He was like, "So any of your brothers?" We like,
"Wow."
Yep.
So you remember going on Soul Train, but you don't remember going on Loveline.
Different vibe.
Adam, he wasn't on Loveline. You talked to the other guys on Loveline.
Oh,
Crazy
Dizzle.
Gio.
Sweet vindication.
What did Gio say to me?
I know Lazy Bone was on, and okay, the other guys. But yeah, Gio told me the other day that Crazy didn't go on Loveline.
Oh, well then
you are so dismissed.
You're safe.
Yeah, you're fine.
I got my bones swapped.
Exactly.
So you guys started just harmonizing or rapping? Or how did you kind of find each other?
Well, what's crazy is we didn't even know when we met each other that our grandparents knew each other. And our parents actually went to school together. So we had started hanging out with each other, and my father took me over to Lazy Bone's house one day, and when he saw his mom, he was like, they called each other by name. They already knew each other. So we started hanging out on a daily basis. We started entering school talent shows. And back then we were called, in junior high, we had a group we were called the Band-Aid Boys. And we used to walk around with Band-Aids up under our eyes, you know what I'm saying? And And that's where it all started from. And we've been together ever since. Two different names, different group names, different rap names. But we've been together since junior high school, pretty much.
Who did the Band-Aid under the eye?
Nelly did.
Nelly. Mm-hmm. For his brother who was in prison. I saw on Entertainment Tonight, 2002 yeah. or something.
Yeah, I don't know why I did. I just
so Nelly ripped off your Band-Aid boy thing?
Man, that's what we just tell everybody we used to do that way back in junior high school.
They also used to walk around with giant clocks around their neck.
Oh, like yeah. Flavor Flav.
Sure
well,
did.
Well, before, who would be right? Who
right.
Stole yeah.
So when did it start taking off then? Are you guys out of Cleveland
yes.
area?
Yes, out of Cleveland. Man, it started taking off. We had just about exhausted all our avenues there. You know, the music scene wasn't that big there. And we were huge hip-hop fans. We loved New York hip-hop, but we gravitated more to the West Coast hip-hop. And so we were big fans of N.W.A. and Eazy-E. And around the time that we saw N.W.A. split up and Eazy went his way and Dr. Dre and everybody, we always said we want to go to California and help Eazy out. You know what I'm saying? Because he's the underdog now. Everybody turned against him. We're like, we want to be signed to Ruthless. And we actually told people when we left Cleveland, when we come back, we're coming back with Eazy-E and a video crew. And that's exactly what we did.
Oh my God.
But so did you give him demo tapes and stuff like that?
So while we were out here, we had a local album that we released in Cleveland. It was called Faces of Death. And the person who worked with us in Cleveland gave us the number to Ruthless Records. We actually took one-way bus tickets out here. We was like, it's do or die. We either go now or our dream was going to pass.
About how old were you?
We were like, Busy was the youngest. He was like 16.
Wow.
And I was 18. Yeah. Wow. Yes, we was between 16 and 18 at the time. And we got on a one-way bus and came out here. We know what we was going to expect, where we was going to stay at. Luckily, we had some people who was from Cleveland. They were going to school out here. So we stayed. It was like seven of us in one bedroom apartment. And our contact back home gave us the number to Ruthless Records. So we started calling every single day. Every single day. Like, we want to speak to Eazy. And so the secretary one day, she was like, you know what? I'm so tired of y'all calling me. I'm going to make sure Eric calls y'all back today. And we was like, cool. So we stayed by the phone, and the phone rang, and it was Eazy. And he was like, Busy answered the phone. He was just so excited. He was like, oh, my God, hold on. And he threw the phone to me, and he was like, rap for him. And I just started rapping, and he was like, hold on 1 second. And then he put me on hold, and then he came out to the phone and said, say that rap you just said again. And I could hear other people in the room. I think it was Jerry Heller and like other artists was in there. And after I finished rapping, they was like, wow. And then he was like, where y'all from? He was like, Cleveland. And he said, I got a show in Cleveland in 2 weeks. And then he was like,
how much rapping did you do on the phone? And what was the rap?
It was a rap that I did, man. It was like a fast rap. It was like, what can I say it now?
Please.
I don't remember all of it. It was like, well, it's the killer that once again. The suckers, they pick up their pen and instead of contempt, they go that they win. It's that Mac 10 that's blasting. Pick up the good that you're running off a nigga assassin. Popping the clip and you asking, who in the hell was that masked man? Something like that. And he was like,
that sounds like Martin Degard.
But it was longer than that, though. It was longer.
And they threw you the phone.
Yeah.
Because you were kind of the crackerjack rapper,
the
like the better. Shouldn't have said cracker. No. What I mean is they knew you were the one to sell for 30 seconds out of all the guys.
Yeah.
It was kind of flattering.
Busy was new in the group at the time. You know what I'm saying? So we let him in the group. So he was like, rap for him. That's easy. And I was like, I just got the phone to start rapping. You know what I'm saying? It just.
So do you have to get on a one-way bus back to Cleveland to open?
That's the thing. He said, I got a show in Cleveland. And he was like, will y'all be able to make it back there? And we was like, we'll try. So we hung up the phone with him. Now, first of all, he told us he was going to call us back in two hours. But the people we were staying with at the time, for some reason, the female left the house and she locked the phone in her bedroom.
Oh, no.
So we hearing the phone ring all day.
Oh, like, my God. This is like a bad sitcom episode.
We like, should we bust it down or what? Should we bust it? This is our future. But we was like, man, if we bust it down, we ain't going to know where to stay. So we was like, he said he was going to Cleveland. Let's just try to get back to Cleveland. So we called our contact in Cleveland and told him, if we come back to Cleveland, can you get us an opening spot on this Easy Show? He said, I'm promoting that show. Done deal. So we hustled up money, called our family, like, cried. We stranded. We can't get back home.
You know what I'm saying? We have a good reason.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And they helped us get back home. And the show that he had was actually at a nightclub that LaVert owned, the group LaVert. They owned the club. It's called Vert's Nightclub. And we went in. We opened up for Easy. Then after Easy went on, we just blended with them like we were part of their entourage. And just walked to the backstage area, but they stopped us at the dressing room. Wait, hold on, wait, who was y'all? And Yellow Boy came out saying, we was like, man, can we rap for you? And he was like, yeah, go ahead. So we started saying the same rap I said on the phone, and Easy stuck his head up, was like, y'all the ones I talked to on the phone? And we was like, yeah. He was like, came out and talked to us, and he was like, when y'all trying to leave? We was like, now. We ain't got no clothes to take. We ain't got no bags to pack. We ready to go now. And he was like, I'll call y'all in the morning. He called us and he had like bus tickets set up for us to get back to California. And he said, I'll see y'all when I get back.
Oh my God.
It's such a weird pre-cell phone time when you have to stand by the phone.
Yeah.
You'd even do the move. I don't know if you guys did this move, but when you were expecting a call, but you had to go take a shower or something, you take the phone off the hook so they get the busy signal.
Oh, smart.
So they would call back in 10 minutes. Sure. The busy signal was kind of code for you just call back in 10. I got to run out to the liquor store. I'm coming back. I take the phone off the hook. It's also weird how analog and
archaic
it was. But on the other hand, it somehow worked.
Yeah, it did.
Although you guys essentially took a 4-day bus trip to Los Angeles to make a phone call you could have made from Cleveland.
Exactly.
And then took another 4 days back
way
to
better story
Cleveland. But this is a better a better story.
Yeah, it is.
So now you get to L.A. and what?
And we get there. We get Easy was still on tour. He came like came back 2 days
what
later.
What year is this? Sorry.
This was like this was 93.
Mm-hmm.
93. And he was on tour. So when he came back to L.A., he came to the hotel room and he picked us up. And he took us to the studio immediately. He took us to like three different studios in one day. And we did like three songs that day. But the last studio we went to, the producer was DJ Unique, the one who produced all of our music. We stuck with him because when we met up with him, his vibe matched ours like completely. Everything we told him, how we wanted our music to sound, he made it sound exactly like that. So Easy just put us right to work. He put us right to work. And we were working on the album, but he was still anxious to get us out. He was like, no, let's take these six songs. Creeping on to come up as an EP. Let's put it out now. And he put it out, and like weeks later, it was crazy.
And did you keep going back on the road with him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He kept us with him. Like, he kept us like everywhere he went. We was right there with him.
That's amazing.
Everywhere.
Do you remember when he got sick?
Yes. I remember when he got sick. It was kind of strange because it's just kind of like he had disappeared. Like we were out here staying in hotels and like, you know, we weren't from here. So we was like, he would disappear like weeks sometime. And we in the hotel with no food, no money. And we told him like, we caught up with him one time. We was like, bro, just, you know, if you're busy right now, send us back to Cleveland so at least we have ways to hustle and make money to feed ourselves. Like, we're not from here. We don't know the codes out here. You know what I'm saying? So we need to be somewhere where we're comfortable. And then that's when he put out a folder and he was like, look, I'm making some changes in my company, getting rid of a lot of people, and I need y'all to just be patient because I'm rebuilding with y'all. And we was like, that's all you had to tell us, bro. We down. That's all you had to tell us. And so like weeks later, he disappeared again. And we got a call to come up to the office, to Ruthless Records. And there was an attorney there named Ron Sweeney. And they had checks for us. And we was like, where is Easy at? And they was like, Easy's taking care of something right now. Da, 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 da. But he wanted us to give y'all these advancement checks, you know, advance checks. So we got the checks and we we all moved back to Cleveland. I got houses and
so it was a check,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a check we ain't never seen before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we go home and, you know, like get houses and, you know, set ourselves up. And in the midst of that, 2 weeks after I get back home, the girl I was with at the time, she was from here, and she got a call from her friend saying, have you heard anything about Eazy-E getting sick with HIV? And I was like, no. But the very next day, it came on MTV News confirming it. And I was like, wow. So that's how we found out on MTV News. After that, we was kind of like shut out of all that. Like, nobody told us nothing, what happened. All we know is that he had AIDS. A couple weeks later, he was dead. So
oh my God.
We was like, well, back to the streets for us.
And that was your mentor. That was your guy.
Yeah.
And he was just gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had been. And we wasn't even with him for like a full year.
Oh, my God.
But the times we was with him, like, he was with us every day. Like, he was staying in our little apartment. He would fall asleep in our little apartment. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like with us all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a death sentence back then.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
definitely
not so much. But yeah, it's such a luck of the draw because you get it now. You see commercial. I see a lot of commercials for AIDS medications.
Exactly.
People are going about their business. And that was getting toward the end of the death sentence, like a couple of years later, probably AZT and
yeah,
he'd probably still be around.
Yeah.
So
real.
Now your mentor's gone.
Yeah.
Tragically. He was in his 30s.
Yeah. Yep.
Young.
Yep. In his 30s.
And that definitely slowed your roll a little bit. But how'd you guys pick it up after that?
Well, we thought it ended our roll. You know what I'm saying? So because we was like, man, we just got on with the dude. We wanted to get on with our childhood dream, and now it's just like gone. But then we get a call from Ruthless Records, and they wanted to have a meeting with us. So they flew us back from Cleveland, and we go to the office, and it's his wife in the office now. So, you know, we immediately, was biased. Like, who is you?
Right.
Where is Eazy? You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't, you know what I'm saying? Because we have found out that they dropped just about every other artist on the label but Bone. I was like, wow. I was like, and everybody else was looking at it. You know, the other artists, they was mad, but they was like kind of telling us, like, y'all need to watch out. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to watch out.
Did she make that decision?
I don't, from what I hear, Eazy said, whatever you do, don't let them go.
Wow.
That's from what we heard. Yeah.
Well, I would say that's probably what he said, because that's what happened.
Definitely.
So, now, you guys knew that you had something, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean things are going to work out, but you definitely know you have ability.
Yes.
And you were able to impress people.
Oh, yeah.
So, she carries on the company, Eazy's wife, after he passes on.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting into, I mean, we're 95, 96.
Yeah.
And then you guys are going into the studio again, or you're going out?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he actually passed away in the midst of us while we were working on our first album. You know, we did the EP, and then we were working on our album, Eternal. And they kept, like, he was supposed to come to the studio, like, to be on that album, but he never came. And we was like, yo, what's going on? He's not even showing up for the album. And, you know, and then that's when we found out what was going on. But, you know, we kept pushing, like, you know, like, our success, like, still it took off in the midst of all of this. Like, we were steady going up, even though all the turmoil at the label, our success was steady rising. We didn't know it, but it was steady rising, like on the radio and the charts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you remember the first time? I know it's a cliche trope, but for a reason, the first time you heard your song on the radio?
Yeah, man. Yes, I remember. Eazy called us one day. And he was like, we was in a hotel room. He was like, turn the radio on. And we turned the little clock radio on. Like, and we heard Thuggish Ruggish Bone. Yeah, we was like all through the hotel room. We called people in Cleveland like, look, we on the radio in L.A. like, we was, man, it was crazy. The feeling was crazy. Like, it was so much energy. We was like, wow, we finally made it. It was crazy.
I love that.
I love that story. I should ask every single band that.
Yeah.
Gina, remind me.
I will.
Because, you know, maybe it's like the second date with the relationship that may be a little bit sour now, but it'll never get better than that. Yeah.
That's true.
There's more money and there's more accolades and there's more events and there's more you running into folks you respect and all that shit. But that for purity, I'd say it's just that one
moment on the
radio, because then after that, it'll turn into a business.
Exactly.
And once it turns into a business, it's just
evaporates.
It's just work.
Yeah, it's just work for real. Definitely.
And also, you can never, I mean, it's kind of like saying to a, it's kind of like a race car driver saying, like, what's the funnest and fastest you've ever gone? And they'd say, when I was 8 on a sled. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but you've gone 200 miles an hour at Talladega, but it was that moment on the sled. Mm-hmm. It just didn't, I didn't get paid. It didn't get any better than that. That's how we are as human beings. I should plug the podcast, by the way, Truth Talks, and you can watch it on YouTube. Let's talk about that. And the foundation, Spread the Love Foundation as well. We should talk about that. Well, let's go with the foundation first.
Okay.
Spread the Love Foundation.
Because you're still still tied to Cleveland and whole area.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Spread the Love is something, you know, that I've been wanting to do. I've actually been wanting to do it ever since we got on with Easy, but, you know, I didn't have the knowledge or I would see other people's nonprofits. And then when I saw some people who were doing their nonprofits the wrong way and getting going, I was like, wait, I got to make sure I understand this. To the fullest, because I'm not trying to be sitting in jail for someone of y'all done telling you know what I'm saying, and they put it on me. So I'm like, so Spread the Love is something I'm doing. I'm actually in the process of acquiring my old elementary school. It was torn down, but I'm purchasing the lot right now to build a Bone Thugs and Harmony Academy to teach kids music skills, to teach them business skills, to teach them just all the ins and outs and arounds of the business.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that thought. I hate big everything. I hate teachers unions and big education and the fact that LA was shut down for 2 years. It shut the schools down. I like the LeBron James Academy.
Yes.
I know where this is going.
Kanye West, you know, I still like what's behind it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to coach gym over there or civics classes, but, you know, I like he's doing his own thing.
They have parkour.
Oh, they do.
They do have parkour, yeah.
They also, Chris, I'm going to think of a guy's name I can't think of right now. The drummer for Lenny Kravitz, he's been in here, is a friend of mine. I'm spacing out right now. I owe him a text, but he went back to his – I wish everyone would just go back to where they're from and start an academy and start a school. It's basically Elon Musk with SpaceX. Like, you can give NASA $200 kajillion and wait 20 years.
Or
this guy can do it at a fraction of the cost and 10 times faster and get better results out of it. I kind of feel that way. But how – oh, Franklin Vanderbilt. That's who I'm trying to think of. How do you go about doing that?
Well, I've been in...
And what is this school? Sorry, but go ahead.
I've been in conversations with the city. I've had several meetings with the councilmen, the mayor. I actually have a meeting with the mayor next week in Cleveland, you know, to talk about, you know, further funding for the project and stuff like that. So, I mean, it just took us to, like, you know, gather the city, let the community know what the plans were, and everybody got behind us. We actually just did a coat drive the other day on Saturday, and it was a great, great turnout. Like, people, and it just got cold in Cleveland. The day after, we got a foot of snow in Cleveland, so it was right on time.
So people love that you are still tied to the community.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They get excited about all the stuff you're doing.
Every time we go back and they see stuff that we're doing, especially in the community, it lifts them up. They're happy we still represent the where we came from, the same neighborhood, the same block, and I'm about to try to build it up as much as I can.
Well, speaking of LeBron James, he loves you guys.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
neighbors.
That's the homie. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep. 20 minutes away. Acting like 20 minutes away from Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Now I'm doing the math.
Yeah.
That guy moves around so much. I can never figure out where he's from.
He's nomadic.
Yeah. But he's out there.
Yep.
I bet Drew Carey loves you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Arsenio.
Oh, yeah. Arsenio. Yes, indeed. Arsenio had us on the show. He was hyped, so he was like real hyped. And Drew Carey is a fan. You know what I'm saying? Spoke to him like a few years ago. It's cool.
I can't think of anyone else as famous from Ohio.
That's all I got.
Woody Hayes.
Yeah.
I mean, he died.
I mean, it's a lot of people. If you put in artists and celebrities from Cleveland, you'd be shocked who come up. Like, it's crazy. I did it one time, and I was like, wow.
Not just me?
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Well, let's see who we got. Phil Donahue.
Halle Berry.
Yeah. Halle Berry.
Terrence Howard.
Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
Paul Newman.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Shaker Heights. Yeah. Where's Harvey? Shaker Heights? You know where Shaker Heights
oh,
is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shaker Paul Heights. Newman's from Shaker Heights.
Have you ever met Tracy Chapman?
Man, no, I have not. And when I found out she was from Cleveland, I was like, I never knew that.
First time hearing of it.
Never knew
Steve
that.
Steve Harvey.
Terrence Howard. Molly Shannon. Wow. This is a long-ass list.
Yeah. Hmm.
Impressive.
Punch in North Hollywood, California. No, let's see.
Just Benny. You.
Yeah, where was Franklin Vanderbilt wanting to build his school? I can't... By the way... I don't know what the theme is, but it appears to be all brothers. Franklin Vanderbilt. I got LeBron.
Don Cornelius brothers?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. No. I mean men of color, African-American or something, giving back to the neighborhood. I don't hear George Clooney doing this stuff.
Mm.
Maybe it's just me.
Now, since you're so good at, you have such a storied record of saying, I'm going to do this and accomplishing it, what do you think, how long do you think it'll take to get this up and running?
Well, we had just started the whole process in 2019. And after I made the first visit and met with the Cleveland members down there on the mayor's team, right after I returned, COVID hit.
Yep.
And that knocked us out. But with the help of Zoom, we were able to get a lot done because we stayed on like weekly meetings on Zoom.
Sure.
We stayed on those meetings to push whatever we could push. So now with everything open and I've been going, we're looking like hopefully mid next year to start building.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So are you going kind of ground up? Or are you taking over an old coat hanger factory or something?
No, ground up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's going to cost something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, we going through, like, to see what kind of grants and, you know, they're going to grant us and stuff like that.
Is it all going to be music, arts, and performance based? Or is it going to be a scholastic curriculum?
No, it's going to be, not only do I want to teach people, you know, just music skills and music industry knowledge, I want to teach people, you know, life skills as well. You know, like talking to young boys coming up in a neighborhood, you know, trying to steer them in the right direction, and young girls too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to do it like however we can spread the love. Mm. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Well, again, I'll give the foundation out. Spread the Love Foundation. You can visit Spread the Love. OH.com. All right. Crazy Bone, you want to hang out with us? We'll take a quick break and do the news.
Yes, indeed.
We'll do that right after this.
January 20th and 21st. The Adam Carolla crew is coming to Dallas, Texas.
If you've been on the cruise, look at this as a land yacht.
Working blue.
And what is the equivalent of a drunken cruise on land? Dallas, Texas.
That's right.
That's right.
With Adam Carolla and John Popper. 2 days, tons of fun.
Live pod, all do stand-up, and we're going to do a screening of the K-Rock doc. John's going to do musical performances.
Hell yeah.
If I'm doing my job, it's your all that breaks, because the hook brings you back.
Your tickets for the package include hotel rooms, tickets to a live Adam Carolla show, brunch with John and Adam, a VIP meet and greet, a special screening of the K-Rock documentary.
And no seasickness.
No seasickness.
Probably
John.
Some vomiting, but
yeah,
not a
but
lot.
It's your fault.
And of course, the big event on Saturday night, Adam Carolla and John Popper at Dallas Echo Music Hall.
Sounds really pretty. Beautiful place.
Working Blue with Adam Carolla and John Popper. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grass, the face on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala, beat news with Gina, Gina Grass.
The news with Gina Grad.
So now that Karen Bass has been elected mayor of L.A., she says she does want to hit the ground running on certain issues affecting the city. So I'm just going to show you, if you haven't seen it, here's a one-on-one interview she did with ABC 7 talking about what she wants to happen when she takes over in just a couple of weeks.
The campaign is over and it's time to get to work. So what does Mayor-elect Karen Bass have in store for Los Angeles?
We are definitely going to identify some of the most challenging encampments and make sure that we can get those people housed. But declaring a state of emergency really allows us to rally, bring together the city agencies, and allows us to look at especially city-owned land and fast-track things.
What happened to Garcetti? And I was thinking about this the other day. He's the former mayor. I know you're into Cleveland politics, but this is L.A. stuff. You know what I was thinking about? I had this thought. Eric Garcetti, why the fuck did you want to be mayor? Like, what is the ambition? Like, to go, like, you know, all I want to do is fly this airplane. That's all I want to do. And then they put you up in the pilot's flight deck, and you go, eh. Yeah. I'm bored.
Not as into it as I thought
I'd be. Heading to the back. Yeah. We use the bathroom. Like, why did Garcetti want to be mayor? He didn't do anything. He was never around. Nothing changed.
It just
everything just got sort of slowly worse. More trash, more homelessness, like more crime. Like, but really at its core, why do you want to do this then? I mean, I get it's a cool title to be mayor of Los Angeles, but then you kind of show up and you're like, eh. He didn't do a. I didn't hear him interviewed a lot. I didn't hear like a lot of proclamations. There wasn't like, you know, by 2021 we're going to. It was nothing.
No.
Just kind of showed up, and then at the end he was just sort of like, well, no one really liked me, and I'm thinking about India, and I want to be the ambassador.
That's right.
And so I'm just going to kind of lay low for the next 6 months, and you guys sort of take over, but. Like, I would like to get him really high and just go, what did you want to do? Like,
what was
the plan? What did you want to do? Because you didn't do any of it, but did you want to do it or did you just want to kind of hobnob?
Well, because take, for instance, Crazy Bone. When he says he's going to do shit, he does shit. What was your plan?
I would work Crazy Bone into that
conversation.
You know?
So when you're declaring a state of emergency, here's some of the stuff that happens.
Wait, there's a story I was looking for, Chris. Maybe it's a New York Times one, but there's one where somebody, some council person wants to get rid of internal combustion automobiles, and the other one is working on something that's not going to work for homelessness. But anyway, yeah, so so Caruso wanted to do this too. He wanted to do a state of emergency.
Right.
And then what?
So that gives, it triggers immediate emergency regulations into effect, whatever those are, a lot of police power, and a lot of funding. So we don't know what she's going to do with that. She hinted at, you know, give the unhoused houses, but we know it's way deeper than that. And I guess we'll just have to see.
Well, okay, couple things. You can't let things metastasize. You know, you catch that first cancer cell and you fucking jump on it. The first time someone pulls up in a Winnebago and parks it in front of the Hollywood Bowl, you have to jump on that. Because at a certain point, it becomes overwhelming. Now it's a throng. It's a mass of humanity. And it's much less manageable. Like you just
don't have the manpower to figure it out.
You just have to hop on that. Immediately. And then, you know, the self-proclaimed homeless advocates, who are these people? Who's paying these people? Why do you get to be an expert on homelessness? None of your suggestions have done anything except for exacerbate the problem. Maybe you're not an expert. Sure. Like, could you imagine if a homeless expert was your veterinarian? It's like, yeah, everyone brings their dog in, dies. But don't you worry. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Don't you question me. I've anointed myself an advocate.
Well, and that's sort of the thing I never understood. Like when they were, quote unquote, cleaning up Echo Park and, you know, trying to, you know, give that back to the neighborhood. And then they said, absolutely not. My first thought is, so it's good enough that these people live out the rest of their days in these encampments and being sick or being drug users when there are programs we could put into effect to actually raise them up. This is good enough for you. We don't do this to animals. Why is this good enough for people?
Yeah, the city councilman, Paul Cortez, is seeking to ban the sale of new gas cars in L.A. by 2030. Again.
Well, we're all independently wealthy, so it'll be fine.
These are rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. People are going to leave way before that if you don't get the homeless thing, crime and everything, and trash. By the way, how could you not have a trash issue? You have tens of thousands of homeless people living on the street. Of course, there's going to be a trash issue. What are they supposed to do with their trash? And their home and encampment is a form of trash.
Well, and like Dr. Drew said how many years ago that it's, what is it? Not the plague. The bubonic plague? Was that it? It's because of the trash and then the rats and then the fleas stay on the rats and then we all get the plague.
Yes.
That's fun. You're local here, yes?
Yes.
So
yes,
you you're familiar.
I see it all happen. I'm like, yes.
And that's the question, like with the officials. It's like, where do you live? Because this is everywhere, acting like it doesn't exist.
Well, there's a law. It needs to be enforced. I don't know why we turned a blind eye to basically, we have no camping ordinances. You're not allowed just to camp on the beach overnight. But,
the hell you're not.
Well, now you can camp next to the on the boardwalk. But either way, it's got to be cleaned up. And now it's going to sting. Because, again, back to the cancer metaphor, get it early. It may not be that disruptive. We're getting the scalpel out now. Yeah. Like, we're going to have to start carving out parts. You're going to lose a lung. Like, we let it go. We let it metastasize. And now we're getting into some deep surgery here. But it still needs to be done.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to see what Ms. Baz does about that. Something that I think you, Adam, may have been expecting, but the rest of us weren't. If you're someone who thinks that smoking marijuana isn't as bad for you as smoking cigarettes because it's not addictive, here's some new news for you. Researchers from the Radiological Society of North America were comparing lungs of weed smokers, tobacco smokers, and non-smokers, and concluded that smoking marijuana is more harmful to your lungs than cigarettes. But there's a very, to me, when I read it, I was like, of course, obvious reason why that might be.
You're harsh and crazy bones, Mel, right now.
But I'm just going to give you an alternative. That might help. The study shows that the rates of emphysema, airway inflammation, and enlarged breast tissue were higher in marijuana than in tobacco smokers. Doctors believe the major factor of the emphysema is that marijuana smokers just breathe more deeply, hold it longer, and that's causing a lot more damage inside when you're trying to get, you know, get more bang for your buck.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Time to go edibles, right?
You go edibles, maybe exactly. A vape, some...
Oh.
Vegetable glycerin.
You know, I can't be inventing this, but they have a nicotine patch.
Well, there's CBD lotions and stuff. I don't know about
THC. Is there like a THC patch for like a long flight?
God, that would fuck me up.
Yeah. Somebody got to get on that shit.
That's a good idea.
I think a THC patch for a long flight sounds like a very bad idea. That's some like John Lithgow, Gremlins on the Wing type shit.
Well, that's because you're lightweight.
That's where I am these days.
But for the guys in the band.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, need the extra punch.
I mean, I guess you can eat a gummy or something now. I remember once Jimmy packed a pot cookie for us because he would get air sick.
Yeah.
And the pot cookie helped for air sickness.
Sure.
And I remember we're sitting up there in first class, and he handed me one of the cookies, and I was like, all right, I'm down. And started eating the cookie, and he's like, the stewardess was coming by. Like, he was like, no, not in front of it. And I was like, if I put my jacket over my head and eat this cookie, she's going to know. Right now, I can pass this off as a Mrs. Fields.
Exactly.
But if I put the jacket over my head, she's going to know something's up. So I'm going to sit here in broad daylight and eat this cookie.
Good point.
Yeah.
Crazy Bones, any stories that you'd like to impart? Any wisdom maybe from any weed smoking, anything, edibles that you'd like us to know?
I mean, I know the first – I don't necessarily do the edibles – before I take a flight, because I did it one time.
Yeah.
And it was, man, it was, I was so paranoid.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought about, before the plane even took off, I was like, what if we don't make it there? All kind of stuff going through my head, like Final Destination. I'm like, man, I'm like, wait, I'm not doing this no more.
See Liam Neeson walking down the aisle talking on his phone, and you're like, shit, it's on.
Yeah. Not a great plan.
Well, it's, if you're, some people get really paranoid and fixated and whatever. I mean, that's why you can never ignore booze, because it's always the same outcome.
It's always there for you.
You're going to get relaxed. Yeah. You're not going to care nearly as much about whatever. And at some point, you'll just pass out and you'll wake up in New York or Chicago or Ohio. And that'll be that. So you never sleep on booze. But it does make sense if you're ripping bong loads and holding it in as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
There's going to be a little damage. And cigarettes, We always talk about this. Like, everyone gets so caught up in the nicotine. Nicotine's not bad for you. Just like caffeine is not bad for you. It's just sort of inert. It's the smoke that's bad for you.
The formaldehyde or whatever else they're putting in.
Whatever else they're putting in there.
I've been meaning to talk about this for a while, so I can't wait to get your opinions on this, especially if you've ever heard of her. If you're tired of making your own decisions, you can do what this 23-year-old French chick has done. She's letting her OnlyFans followers make all of her decisions. Like, that's what they're paying to do.
Like, take your panties off?
That's right. Everything from what to eat for lunch, who to date. The woman goes by Lori. We have a picture of her, very attractive woman. Wrote in her bio, "No, this is not a joke. As of today, I have decided that I will no longer make the important decisions in my life. It's up to you. You choose the future of this account." Her idea suddenly made one of the most popular content creators on OnlyFans. She says so far it's worked out well. People have actually tried to give her good advice. They've advised her to get out of a toxic relationship, to leave a bad job, to conquer a fear of heights by flying in a helicopter. So nothing sadistic yet.
So there's a new, if you're just a hot blonde chick, that's just a job now,
it's a job.
Right? Yeah. That's your gig.
That's your income source.
Like, you used to have to get a job as a receptionist and then hook up with the boss, and then that could be your job. But now you don't have to leave the house.
No.
Just hang out and be hot.
Live your life. Yeah.
Yeah, or you can fart into a jar and sell that to German guys.
You know that's true, yes. That's a real girl, fart jar girl.
I saw that. I heard, yes.
And didn't she blow her colon out?
She had some medical issues.
Yeah.
You know. That is crazy.
Well, yeah, she's overworked.
She's an athlete. You're going to have injuries.
Sure. Absolutely.
You got to rub some dirt on it and get back out on that field.
We talked to her. I liked her.
I liked her too. But I think she went to selling other things.
Oh.
Yeah, she went to NFTs, digital fart work, she called it. And then
what?
And then after that, I think she's selling her boob sweat.
Oh, yeah, she's selling boob sweat.
I could have done that a year ago.
Yeah, you missed out.
It would have been easy.
This whole bonanza boob sweat. Mm. And so this is just a hot chick. So that's how she makes her living now.
You know what? I don't know if this is still what they're doing.
It's kind of weird when you think about these OnlyFans chicks and guys and whatever. You used to have, if you're a hot chick and you didn't feel like working, you'd get one sugar daddy.
Sure.
Now you have 2,000 sugar daddies.
Right.
And they all give you $11 a month. Wow. And you'll be fine. Like, I'm going to explain that to my daughter. You can get one sugar daddy and hit him up for the whole nut every month, or you can spread it out. And then you don't need a rich old guy to be your sugar daddy anymore, because you can have a bunch of sugar daddies who work normal jobs.
This is your parenting plan?
Part of it. It's not the entire plan. I want them in the academy.
I would say
transfer.
She's probably, you probably make more money with the sugar daddy, but less physical contact with the e-daddies, probably for the best.
Yeah, but the sugar daddies, if you can get enough daddies under the tent, you can make some good cash.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, no one can.
Hot girl that I was friends with when I first moved out here, they all had the same job. They were all bottle promo girls at events.
Bottle service?
No, like oh, we're working for Michelob today, and we're going out to the whatever, and we're handing out beer, and like I guess that's what hot girls do.
The former hot girl job was the model who stood next to the car at the auto show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's like the 80s hot girl.
I would always strike up a conversation with them.
She's used to that.
They had their shtick, their spiel.
Oh, you. Do you come with that car?
No.
Oh, you.
I literally saw that on The Simpsons last night.
That's exactly why I said it.
They would do the beginning where they go, the 1989 Jeep Wrangler has 444 rear gears and 12 inches of suspension travel and a 3.2 liter inline six engine with 186 foot-pounds of torque. Because that was the shit they had to remember.
Oh, wow.
They could get that part.
Right.
But then
no
if you started questions. Talking to them about anything else that had to do with that Jeep Wrangler, they didn't know jack squat.
Wow. And you'd press them on it?
Yeah, I would.
That's awfully mean.
Yeah. You know, it's part of their job.
Sure. Are you a car guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love cars.
What's your favorite or what do you have that you love?
Well, man, I've had like a lot. My favorite car is the Mercedes-Benz. I like that. You know what I'm saying? More than like Bentleys and stuff like that. Because I don't like to draw too much attention. I just like something nice that can move fast. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? But I like truck. I love trucks though. SUVs. You know, Escalades. The Tahoes. You know what I'm saying?
Like, off roading or just to have?
Just to have.
Have you got them pimped out?
No. I mean, you know, I stopped doing that to my cars like years ago. I'm like, you know what? I'm too old for this. I just need to get in it. You just need to take me to where I got to go. And, you know, that's it for real, you know.
And also, like, putting your initials on the headrest doesn't add a lot to resale.
Right.
No. Unless the person has the same initials.
Yeah,
but if you find someone who's
Kathy Bates.
If a different name, like, yeah, if you want to sell it to Kathy Bates, she might pay a premium. For it.
But that's all I can think of. I think
these people get these cars, dump a ton of money into the stereo and the upholstery and all that shit, and it's not worth anymore when they're done.
Yeah, you just got to sit up and watch it get old.
That's it. And then you can never sell it.
Exactly.
Because you put 110 grand into a car that stickered for 65 and is now worth 42.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about money. Someone just spent more than $200,000 on an old pair of old Birkenstocks owned and worn by Steve Jobs. That set a record for the highest price ever paid for a pair of sandals at auction, according to the auction house. The tech pioneer's brown suede, just dirty old
ragged.
Who is
second in the sandal department? Mm. You know, like Julius Caesar? You know what I mean? Like, who was another famous?
Jesus.
Who did he beat out? Yeah,
exactly.
Someone from biblical days,
right.
Be Job or Ham or somebody. Like, who's second in the sandal department? I mean, it's not like somebody paid $156,000 for Paul Abdul's flip flops.
No, these went for $218,750. They thought it was going to go for $60,000. Mark Sheff, a former manager to Steve Jobs. So this is how do we even come to find these? He got his hands on these shoes during one of Jobs' many clear outs of his possessions, real minimalist. In addition to the physical shoes, the buyer also, of course, gets an NFT, because that's what we do now, with a 360-degree representation of the Birkenstocks. The shoes were reportedly on Jobs' feet in the Los Altos garage, where he and Steve Wozniak founded Apple and have been part of many museum exhibits. We don't know who bought it, but you know, they got to have some good juju in them.
Those are well worn.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it's funny. I always found Birkenstocks to be super ugly.
Very.
They're
couldn't
unattractive,
wear them too wide.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, but they're German. And he liked all things German.
Mm.
That's why I loved Porsche so much. So he was a fan of German design. So it would make sense that he'd have the Birkenstocks and drive the Porsche around.
Although those two things couldn't be further apart in class.
Yes. Most expensive footwear, Nike Air Yeezy 1 designed by Kanye, sold for $1.8 But we're in the most expensive sandal department.
Yeah, we're not talking about like Michael sandal. Jordan's shoe.
I know. That's just another fact I found while yeah. I was looking. I can't find the second most expensive sandals.
The second most was just retail at the Foot Locker for a pair of Huaraches that were nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, he's now everyone who has like a Steve Jobs turtleneck sweater or glasses, or everyone's excited now, right?
Yeah, that's the look. So I know as you hear this, Thanksgiving is over.
No, I mean, if you own any of that shit, you're now sitting on a bunch of cash.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As you hear this, Thanksgiving's over, but I just found this fun fact, and I have to share it with you because we've talked about sort of stuff around this, had no idea. This is amazing. So Thanksgiving is very, very tied to TV dinners, and I really don't know if this is something that you knew already.
Oh, there was the turkey Thanksgiving dinner.
Do either of you know why?
No, I remember that was a winner at the Corolla house. It had the turkey, and it had a little cranberry cobbler thing and a little thing. Yeah. And they, even though we put a man on the moon, they could not prevent kernels of corn from getting into the cobbler.
Right.
So you'd be picking out peas and corn from the hot cobbler that was in the middle. And I could always eat 17 of those, but I just got the one.
With the foil tray.
Yes.
Yeah. And then everything was kind of warm, but like the dessert was always piping lava hot.
Lava hot.
Okay. So on the same page.
Rivaled only by the Jack in the Box apple pie that if you ever just bit into that thing, it would take your face off because it was molten inside. The outer crust would cool off, but the inside was liquid molten death.
Okay. Well, this is important news then. BestLife.com reports that in 1953, due to an ordering error, food company Swanson was stuck with 260 tons of frozen turkeys. And instead of tossing all the turkeys and taking a loss, Swanson's salesman, Jerry Thomas, came up with the idea inspired by meals they served on planes. He ordered 5,000 aluminum trays and organized an assembly line of workers to fill them with turkey, peas, cornbread, and sweet potatoes. That's how the TV dinner was born.
The TV dinner.
Because the Swanson people overordered and said, wait a second, you know how on planes you get a little tray of food? And that's how we got the TV dinner.
It's a good tacit agreement and a balance between a super lazy mom and a hungry kid.
Sure.
Which is basically, I don't feel like making fried chicken. I don't know what Salisbury steak is. I'm not making a full trimmed turkey.
No.
But for $1.99, I will pop this shit in the oven.
Yeah. We love TV dinners.
I do too.
That was a big deal.
What was the TV dinner of choice?
Mine was the Salisbury steak. I love it. I still love it to this day. I don't even lie. I smash them for real.
Were you a hungry man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hungry man. Yep.
Hungry man. All right. Let's see if we can work this out. The Salisbury steak always felt weird to me. It felt like bologna. Like, I didn't know what it was comprised of. I stuck with the fried chicken, and I did the turkey, and then there was a Salisbury steak, and I don't know if there was a fourth one. I just remember
those. I love the fried chicken because we grew up in a Weight Watchers Snackwell's house. I never got to have good shit, so when we got fried chicken, that was a big deal.
Oh, they had a Mexican food one.
They did?
Yeah, they had an enchilada with the beans and the rice.
Oh,
they had an enchilada. Yeah, they had an enchilada tray too, which you know makes sense. Or maybe that was a SoCal thing. I don't know, but that was lots of cans of corn. My canned corn consumption is down 7,000% from when I was 11. You know what I mean? The vegetable would be a can of corn.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was especially when my dad was a bachelor. TV dinner. Oh, yeah. I got the Mexican-style dinner. It's got the enchilada.
Whoa. That looks like...
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, dark picture.
That's not a great picture.
But it had the enchilada. My grandfather used to customize it a little. He'd chop up a little tomato and sprinkle a little extra cheese on top of it.
I love doctoring it, yeah.
Yes, doctor that dinner.
That's good. Definitely. Oh, they also had a Chinese one.
Oh, yes!
Are you aware of this?
Yes, yes. It's all coming back to me. Yes, I had the Mexican one. I had the Chinese one, mostly the chicken one. Yeah, the Chinese one was kind of, chow mein or something with bits of chicken and stuff.
Yeah, very basic.
It was all a caloric mess.
Yeah.
It was not good
with
for
a
you.
Giant pool of sticky sweet sauce in the yes. middle to dip.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm hungry. Sounds good.
And we didn't have a microwave. It was all, 50 minutes in the oven.
That is fancy as fuck if you can actually oven bake that thing.
Yeah, but it's an hour.
That's true.
Because it's a frozen brick when you get out of the freezer, and I'm just paced by that oven, just staring into it, looking like, you open the door, you let the heat out.
That's
I don't care.
Another 7 minutes.
I'm checking on the enchilada, Ma. Get out of here. What are you doing in the kitchen anyway, bitch? You don't cook. I'm looking after my own enchilada.
Wow.
The whole enchilada. I am in charge. And, Chris, they made also one-off just enchilada in a tray.
Ooh la la.
Minus the rice. And it wasn't the whole dinner. Yeah. It was just a frozen enchilada.
A la carte offering.
Oh, somebody brought up Taco Bell in the Enchirito. Familiar? Did they have that in Cleveland?
No.
They have Taco Bell?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, but did they have it when you were a kid?
Yeah. That's the only tacos I used to eat until I came out here. I was like, everybody eat tacos out here. I'm like, we didn't do it in Cleveland like that, but Taco Bell was the spot. For real.
Someone said they're bringing back the Enchirito.
So the Enchirito, they're bringing it back between now and November 30th.
We got to wrap this shit up.
Yeah. Marketing push.
I'm getting over there. That was good.
Wait, is that better than the Bell Beefer?
They're different. They're equal. They're like my kids. I couldn't really pick one.
Yeah.
But the
Bell Beefer.
It was essentially an enchilada. Don't sleep on an enchilada. Most people go out Mexican food and they always get tacos or burritos. Yeah. Get an enchilada. Get a good.
You won't be disappointed.
Good enchilada. You'll not be disappointed.
Is this just a wet burrito?
It's basically an enchilada, as far as I can tell. It's just a tortilla and beef and sauce and cheese.
Taco Bell enchilada.
Yeah. That's essentially what it is. I don't know if they have cheese.
Yeah, it's enchilada and burrito put together. Enchirito.
Enchirito, right.
It's a flour tortilla with seasoned ground beef, and then beans, diced onions, cheddar cheese, and red sauce.
Wet burrito.
Looks
good, though.
I want it.
Yeah, it do.
And the Bell Beefer, still, after all the years of me complaining into a microphone.
Have you heard of the Bell Beefer? That wasn't around for me.
No. You're too young.
No, I didn't.
Was it like a Sloppy Joe?
Yeah.
No, it had all the components of a Sloppy Joe, but it wasn't sloppy.
Oh.
It was just a hamburger bun, taco meat, shredded lettuce, and cheese, and I don't know, maybe a little sauce or
that
something.
That looks pretty good, too.
That looked good. See?
It was it was a Sloppy Joe without the slop.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Solid.
Yeah,
that looked good. I'll eat that, too. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring it home because I'm getting hungry.
I know. We got to go get this back on track. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, Crazy Bone, the podcast, Truth Talks, and you can watch it on YouTube. And the foundation, if you want to get behind a good cause, spread the love, oh.com is where you go. And Martin Degard taking Berlin, the bloody race to defeat the Third Reich is, am I missing something? Oh, I got a Jordan Harbinger first. Yes, all right. Last but not least, there's Jordan Harbinger, a different kind of sponsor for this podcast, the Jordan Harbinger Show. It's, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts with interesting people, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter, or go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful, and you can apply it to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity, or slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. Jordan's an interesting dude. Spoken to him on many occasions. We enjoy his show, and I think you will, too. Search it out. The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can find Jordan's show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. All right, Crazy Bone, you can go to the website spreadthelove.oh. I should say spreadtheloveoh.com is where you go. Truth Talks. Available on YouTube. You can watch that podcast. And then Martin Dugard, Taking Berlin. You can see me doing stand-up at the Rialto Theater December 15th in Tucson. And then we'll all be at the improv at Tempe. Yeah, 16th and 17th. Go down Kroll.com. Good to see you. I was going to say again, but it was a different bone that came into Loveline. Yes, but thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, yes. Thanks for having me.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Martin Dugard, Crazy Bone, and Gina Grad saying mahalo.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apologies. The hard copy and audiobook are available wherever finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them right now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.